This is Jordan Seculo as scrutiny of Comey builds, the fake news comes to his defense.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Seculo Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hey, welcome to Jay Seculo Live, and it's true, folks, and we're right in the middle of it. The fake news media is coming to the defense quickly of Jim Comey. Now, it's interesting because, really, I think it shows that they're true leftists. So even though Hillary Clinton is blaming Jim Comey for everything and basically indicating she said he should be punished, she wouldn't have the authority to fire him. She didn't become president of the United States. Well, the only way to punish a director is to fire them. I mean, she didn't say reprimanded, but punishment. So the idea there that to do that to someone who's risen to that high of level, you can demote them, that's not going to be the case for an FBI director. The only way to really punish is to remove them of their duty, of their position. But Washington Post says the case against Comey, now this is interesting. If you believe something is false, the Washington Post does that whole true, false, how many Pinocchios? And the most, if it's what they consider to be a lie, it gets 4 Pinocchios. They're saying the case against Comey is worthy of 2 Pinocchios for its innuendo and incomplete or inaccurate information. So the Washington Post, which is fake Amazon News, is saying that, they halfway believe that Jim Comey should be in prison, but halfway don't? I mean, it's either one way or the other. You committed crimes and you should be prosecuted. And of course, everyone in the U.S. gets a defense. You get to defend yourself. But there's no halfway here. You don't kind of commit crimes or maybe not commit crimes. They do cite that there's a statute, and we've cited as well. Doesn't matter if information is classified or not, Section 18 U.S.C. 641, that whoever knowingly converts to his use or the use of another without authority, conveys or disposes of any record or anything of value of the United States or any department of agency thereof, commits a crime. And according to Jim Comey's own testimony, the memos that he leaked were written on an FBI computer, in an FBI van, on FBI time, and contained, at least in 4 of the 7 memos, confidential information. He leaked it to a friend. He leaked 4 of the memos to a friend. We know 4 of the 7 contain classified info. Do the math. That means at least one of the memos he leaked to his friend is also a leak of classified information. So how many Pinocchios is that worth? It's just facts. But Than, I want to go to Than Bennett in Washington, D.C., because Than, this shows how the media will bizarrely, move to go against anyone who is or support anyone who does not support is viewed to not support. And after Jim Comey and his words about President Trump, I would put him in that category. They will come to his defense only as far as they even themselves can as the fake news. I mean, it's either yes, you did something wrong and could be charged with a crime, or no, you can't. And they're saying it's halfway right. I mean, you can't. That's not how the law works.
Well, they're not looking at the evidence, Jordan. I mean, just a couple of examples. First of all, one of the leaks that you're talking about was not only a leak of classified information. He testified to the Congress that it was a premeditated leak, Jordan. He testified that he actually drafted the memo in such a way that he could leak it later. That's how bad it was. Secondly, Jordan, on this matter of when he drafted the declination letter, we've played this sound. We'll play it again. But he testified in open session to the United States House Judiciary Committee that he made the decision after interviewing Hillary Clinton. And yet his staff came before the Senate Judiciary Committee, 2 of them, Jordan, and testified that, no, he started drafting it 3 months before interviewing Hillary Clinton. That is lying to Congress. Now, if he wants to come before the Congress and try to square that circle, I would suggest he should be eager to do so if he can present new evidence. But the evidence we have in front of us, Jordan, unlike what you're seeing reported in the media, shows that he lied to Congress, and I don't see any way how he gets around that.
Yeah, man, they think he should be halfway in prison. So that's what the Washington Post shows. It's halfway. Yeah, he's criminal halfway, not 100% criminal. I mean, that's not how the law works. Now, we only got 20 seconds left in this opening segment of the broadcast. Give us a call. I want to hear from you about this fake news defense of Jim Comey. They're about the last group left defending him. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Of course, our hearts and prayers go out to those affected by the terror attack in London this morning. 22 injured. Thankfully, the explosive device did not go off fully, but they're doing a full search of the city. We'll talk about when we get back.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation, the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. First, and on Facebook and Periscope as well. If you're on Facebook and Periscope, I encourage you, we're doing this during the radio broadcast, share this with your friends and family. I encourage you to share the broadcast with your friends and family so that we can, again, bring more people into our conversation. So you click that share button. And if you've got a comment for us, put it in there. We'll have some team monitoring that as well. As you can tell, It's me and Thanday. We're going to bring Harry in as well. My dad's on the road. Logan is on the road as well. They'll be back again next week. But we want to tell you this idea. We've already told you about the Washington Post saying that the idea that Jim Comey is violated laws, it gets two Pinocchios. Now, they do this rating. You know, if it's four Pinocchios, means it's an outright lie. Two Pinocchios means kind of. But you can't kind of violate the law. You either believe someone did potentially violate the law or did not. And then you have to try it. I mean, ultimately, you have to take this to court, and someone is allowed to, and Jim Comey is one of those people who have a great defense team, as I'm sure he would, and very competent lawyers who would look at every way the investigation was done. Remember, a lot of times people get criminal charges thrown out on what they did or did not do, but on how the case was run and on issues like the investigation itself. And if evidence was handled correctly. And so, again, you can't say 100% someone's going to be charged. Found guilty. But to say that they could potentially face those charges, and of course, if you advocate a position that, like we do, that they have violated those, then you can't be halfway wrong. Even the Washington Post, owned by Amazon, and again, sets up a lot of questions about, again, their independence. They won't give it four Pinocchios to say, oh, Jim Comey didn't violate any laws. They only give it two. So they're defending Jim Comey. But even I read that again. I read between the lines always, as an attorney especially. You know how I read that? Jim Comey is kind of guilty in their mind. And what they're talking about is criminally guilty. So even they kind of have to admit it. And it's not just the Washington Post. Chicago Tribune also distorting the Comey story. They're reporting that the ramped-up attacks on Comey over the past 2 weeks are related to an effort to discredit the Russia probe and Mueller's investigation. They cite our chief counsel, my dad, Jay Sekulow, saying, I'm not looking at this as a legal strategy. I'm just discussing facts. Read Hillary Clinton's book. He said that. And that's one of the reasons why it's gotten so much attention this week. Is it Hillary Clinton? Do we have the sound? Hillary Clinton herself has blamed Jim Comey for her election loss. So it was not President Trump who has just put this back in the news randomly. And by the way, we've never stopped talking about it because we understand as lawyers, this is the long game. Things don't wrap up quickly. But Hillary Clinton herself brought this up in the news, blaming Jim Comey. And then, again, they go back to us. They said that we said this week that Jim Comey's not a credible witness. Well, we said that before 3 months ago. So fake news, Chicago Tribune. They're listening to our radio broadcast, obviously, and they're watching our networks. If they're watching right now, the reporter who wrote that story, go back and see when Jay Sekulow said that Jim Comey's not a credible witness, and you'll find out it was 3 months ago, not this week. He may have repeated that, but that's shoddy reporting, junk reporting from the left. And I think it's because ultimately, listen, they didn't love Hillary Clinton. They preferred her more than Donald Trump. They really liked the Bernie Sanders type, you know, a nutty liberal professor type. And that's who they wanted. But take a listen. Let me remind you why we're all talking about Jim Comey again this week. And the voice you're going to hear is not Donald Trump's.
He was fired for the wrong reason.
What should have been fired?
He should not have been fired for Russia. He should have been disciplined. Whether or not fired, that's not for me to say. But he should have been disciplined for the way that he behaved on the email investigation. And in fact, the Deputy Attorney General, backed by the Attorney General of this administration, laid out in excruciating detail all of the protocols and rules that he broke.
Oh, that's Hillary Clinton saying that Jim Comey, she can't fire him because she's not president, but she goes to the memo that was written by Rod Rosenstein and Jeff Sessions about all the reasons why Jim Comey should be fired. By the way, you don't have to commit crimes to be fired as FBI director because he violated FBI policies and procedures, grossly violated them. And that's all, remember, before he leaked his memos that he wrote on FBI computers. And by the way, you have these media outlets saying, well, they weren't in the FBI file cabinets. I mean, this is 2017. If at the Washington Post and Chicago Tribune and these junk news outlets, folks, I've dealt with these people before. There's some okay reporters there. Most of them are junk reporters. I mean, there's no real reporting left. They Google things. I mean, that's what they do. They could do what your 10-year-old child could do in the news. They may use fancier adjectives and adverbs because they go to thesaurus.com for that. But the truth is, when it comes down to this information, when it goes against their narrative, when the president's meeting with across the aisle, they start getting very nervous. They start getting very concerned. Wait, no one's talking about the I word this week. No one's talking about resist. Haven't seen a lot of, the Antifa protest against in Berkeley was kind of a nothing burger. And by the way, we've had a terror attack in London. We have had North Korea shoot another ICBM. And yet we're still moving on as a country and having dialogue on things like keeping the 800,000 people here who were brought here as children by illegal immigrants, but they were brought here as children, and the president endorsing that. So it's going against a lot of narratives. But Than, I want to take phone calls, so give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Joe in California online, too. Joe, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, Jordan. Thanks for taking my call.
Yep.
I'm going to try to make this as simple as I can, but yep. I'm wondering, is it possible that Comey had received pressure from him, you know, whether it was, from the AG or whatever, to begin to draft the declination letter, you know, 2-3 months beforehand, but that he didn't finally make a decision until July 5th when he said in his statement that nobody else is making this statement besides himself and he's not being put up to have to make that statement. Is there any way that we can...
Yeah, okay. So, Joe, it's a fair question. And folks, if you want to talk to us on air, give us a call. We got some phone lines open for you, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Here's the answer. If it's true that this was just part of his normal practice and that he wrote this thing 3 months in advance before interviewing anybody, even though he then went under oath and said he didn't make the final decision until he entered the Hillary Clinton interview, he said that again. And then he said he ultimately made the bizarre decision not just to suggest not to prosecute, but to declare that there will be no prosecution because of the Loretta Lynch, Bill Clinton meeting on the tarmac. But then we find out He already made the decision 3 months before. The only way for him to refute that, Joe, and listen, this is a guy who loves leaking out information, so here's his chance, right? I'm sure he's got a copy of it, if it exists. I don't think it does. But, Joe, this is how he would do it. He'd have to have the draft grand jury indictments as well. So the flip side of a declination would be drafting of grand jury indictments. Does that make sense to you, Joe? So if he had both ready to go, that may be a better case for Jim Comey. Now, he still likely lied under oath because he was making these decisions way before, extreme decisions, way before Loretta Lynch met with Bill Clinton. But I think on that one issue, Joe, that may be fair if that exists. But so far, no evidence that there were any draft indictments. Does that make sense to you, Joe?
Yeah, that does.
Yeah. So you'd have the flip side of what a declination letter would be, which is drafting of potentially used indictments to a grand jury criminal wrongdoing. And we know. If you want to give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Remember, I mean, let's listen to Jim Comey in his own words, Byte 43.
Did you make the decision not to recommend criminal charges relating to classified information before or after Hillary Clinton was interviewed by the FBI on July the 2nd?
After.
I mean, okay. By the way, that was in September of 2016. Okay, so it's before he's fired. It's before he's leaked information. And he's under pressure. There's all the Russia info going on as well. I want to walk you through this timeline. I want to take your phone calls. Do you believe Jim Comey should be in jail? I just want a simple question, because if you violated criminal law, you should be in jail. If you committed a felony, some of the laws may be felony level. Some may not. Some of that will depend on the classification, but certainly, should he be charged with a crime, that could include felonies and misdemeanors. But do you believe Jim Comey should be in prison? Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Let me walk you through a timeline real quickly as we go into the next break. On June 27th, Bill Clinton and Attorney General Loretta Lynch meet on the tarmac in Phoenix. On July 2nd, Hillary Clinton is interviewed by the FBI. Not under oath, by the way. 3 days later, July 5th, the day after the July 4th weekend, Comey has his press conference. We all know about that, where he clears Clinton. And then it's October 28th when he takes the bizarre step, just about a week before the election, of reopening the Clinton investigation after closing it due to more emails discovered. He was wrong about that, by the way. There weren't as many emails discovered as he believed, and none ended up being new. And then 2 days before the election, this guy closes out and says he reiterates the findings from his July 5th press conference in a letter to Congress. He was messing with our election. He wanted power over either candidate. That's the worst of the worst. I want to take your calls about it when we get back from the break.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation: the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Jim Comey back in the news yet again, and I think rightfully so, because one, Hillary Clinton has got the new book out, and she's talking about it. We've already played that bite. I don't want to hear from Hillary Clinton again on the show today. Once is enough for me, but I think it just underscores what the president has said. We've had a terror attack in London. Very well could be, Islamic State. I mean, it was the UK government who said it is a terrorist attack. They're concerned there could be other explosive devices. And as of this moment, no one has been captured yet. I'm sure that will break when they are able to capture the suspect. So it was someone who left an IED. Thankfully, it did not go off completely successfully for those terrorists. But people were very badly injured. You know, unfortunately, we're in a time period when 22 people are badly burned and trampled in a train in a major city in the world. It does not become a dominant news story. Now, we have a lot of news stories right now. The North Koreans threatening the entire world, shooting another long-range ballistic missile, testing more nuclear devices. And the president is weighing in on this, by the way. The president weighed in on London by saying, very early this morning, loser terrorists must be dealt with in a much tougher manner. The internet is their main recruitment tool, which we must cut off and use better. There's been a lot of debate about the ability for these terrorists to utilize online open sourcing and communicate without fear of being caught by the government because of the way that the encryption works by companies who put this out there. It's a big debate that the world has to have, not just our country. Our country kind of leads, but a lot of these sites are not based in the United States anymore. He also went on to say that this attack in London was by a loser terrorist. These are sick and demented people who were in the sites. Now, this is interesting. He has already said that this person was or individual were in the sites of Scotland Yard, must be proactive. If that ends up being totally accurate, and I have a feeling it very well might, because he is the president of the United States, would know very quickly based off who they saw in that security camera if that was linked to a cell that we were watching, they were watching in the UK. We've seen yet again another major failure by a European government to stop an act of terrorism when they knew the people were bad actors. So we're going to follow that very closely in our thoughts and prayers. Quick recovery for those 22. I heard some people were burned from head to toe. So that is not nothing. I mean, we have to remember in these terrorist attacks where sometimes there's no loss of life, that people are maimed for the rest of their life, which causes other injuries. Children are injured as well, which is heart-wrenching and sickening. So let's not forget what happened today in London. Let's not bypass that as if it was no big deal or allow it to become business as usual in our world. If we do, we live in a very dangerous world, and that's not good for anyone, freedom-loving people around the world. Let's go back to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. I'll get Than Bennett to weigh in as well. Let's go to Paul calling in from Pennsylvania on line 3. Paul, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, how are you? I appreciate all you do. I really enjoy the show. But my big question is, with all going on with the investigation with Comey, how much do you think he is really sweating this? How much does he really think that he could be in trouble? Or does he feel like, hey, that I'm not going to be able to be touched in this situation?
I think he may be starting to sweat it. Remember, right after this, he was Mr. High Profile. He loved giving under oath testimony. He was attacking the President of the United States. He said he was leaking out info and said he was doing it to get a special counsel. And then once the special counsel was actually started, oh gosh, could I be part of that investigation? Am I being investigated by my good buddy Bob Mueller? Maybe. So Jim Comey's being asked to come back to Capitol Hill. I think we'll know Paul a lot by his response. If he has to be subpoenaed to testify and then refuses to come, then yeah, he's sweating. You certainly haven't seen him be doing TV interviews. He was supposed to be doing a book and sign up. Who would buy Jim Comey's book on leadership, by the way? You know, that's what it's about. He doesn't want to compromise anything at the FBI. He only leaks that kind of information out. So if you had any conversations with Jim Comey, no, it won't be in his book. It will only be leaked out by his friends. But Than, You've been an author now. Would you buy a book by Jim Comey on how to be a great leader?
I think I'd probably look elsewhere for lessons on leadership. You know, but just to weigh in on the last comment, Jordan, to date, James Comey has always felt that he's above the law. And the proof of that is the conversation we had a few minutes ago when he testified about this leak. Who in the world would admit that they leaked information to the press for purposes of getting a special counsel appointed? Jordan, who in the world would admit not only did they leak that information, but that they planned to leak that information when they drafted that information? And by the way, we said a couple of days ago on this broadcast that we thought the subpoenas would be coming from the Senate Judiciary Committee. And then Lindsey Graham said yesterday that he favors issuing a subpoena to James Comey. So I think that's exactly what's coming. And then again, to just echo what you said, if he wants to come forward and say that he was simultaneously preparing to call a grand jury, well, Jordan, can you imagine preparing to call a grand jury without interviewing the very people that you gave immunity to and you needed information from them in order to present that to the grand jury? Would you ever even consider going to a grand jury before you'd done those interviews? I think the answer to that is no. So if he comes forward with that excuse, I actually think he's made his problem worse.
Yep. All right, folks. We are going again. I think that this is really what we look at. And Than, do you think Jim Comey would, you know, he's going to be asked to come back and testify, do you think a subpoena is going to be necessary? I mean, that seems like that's where Senator Graham and some others believe. If so, I think that that goes right to Paul's call, which is that he's sweating it.
Yeah, I think a subpoena is going to be necessary. And look, I think the first step, the first signal that we look for to whether or not it's going to be necessary is whether or not the committee gets the unredacted transcripts from the interview that the special counsel, not Robert Mueller, but the special counsel inside the FBI did of his two key staffers, including his chief of staff. Because again, Jordan, remember, that's where the committee got the information that said that James Comey had started drafting that declination letter. And just to go to motive, he actually said in those transcripts that it was to be forward-leaning about where we knew the investigation was going. So he was not just preparing for an outcome. He knew his outcome and he was planning for it. If we get those unredacted transcripts, then maybe James Comey will show voluntarily. But if they don't, I think they're issuing a subpoena.
All right, folks, we're going to continue to take your comments as well on Facebook and Periscope. Take your phone calls if you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. Remember, we've got a second half hour of the broadcast coming up. If you don't get that second half hour on your terrestrial radio station, it's on Sirius XM, Family Talk, Channel 131. It's also on ACLJ.org. You can see inside the studio today. You can see me, Than, Harry Hutchinson from our policy team is about to join us as well. We don't take breaks there. We have special videos during breaks. We comment during breaks. We take your comments through Facebook and Periscope. So it's on Facebook at Jordan Seculo, Facebook J Seculo, on ACLJ.org as well, and Periscope through Twitter. So it's twitter.com/JSecular, twitter.com/JordanSeculo. So you can get involved in the show. We got a few lines open for you. If you want to talk to us on air, the London terror attack, we can certainly discuss it. We're getting what happened in North Korea again. Certainly can discuss it, 1-800-684-3110. And your opinion, Jim Comey, should he be behind bars? Are you ready to put your money where your mouth is, if you will? People like to say he's wrong, he's bad. Do you believe he should be behind bars? 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We're going to take your calls, take your comments when we come back for our second half hour of the broadcast. You don't want to miss the analysis, the information. And remember, as always, we keep you updated on a whole host of issues and cases that the American Center for Law and Justice is working on at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. We'll be back in just a couple minutes.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
heard Jim Comey say it to Senator a number of times, but check this one out. You know, this is to a House committee in September before he's fired. Again, this is a year ago, before he's fired, before he leaks any memos, and he's asked straight up by a member of Congress who does not have as big of a profile about, you know, why he made the decision to act the way he did to open and then, close the Clinton investigation just 2 days, unless you include the July 4th holiday. It's 3 days after she was interviewed but not under oath. Why did he do it that way? Take a listen.
Did you make the decision not to recommend criminal charges relating to classified information before or after Hillary Clinton was interviewed by the FBI on July the 2nd?
After.
Now we found out the Senate Judiciary Committee has found out that this was all pre-written. And remember, he says it was after the Hillary Clinton was interviewed, but he also said that the reason why he took this action to close the investigation and do it so in a public way was not because of after Hillary Clinton being interviewed, which was on July 2nd, but was because of what happened on June 27th. This is why this guy is slimy. On June 27th, because of the Lynch-Clinton tarmac meetings. So let's play that, because again, a different reason for why he took the action that he did.
Was your decision influenced by the Attorney General's tarmac meeting with the former President Bill Clinton?
Yes, in a conclusive way. That was the thing that capped it for me, that I had to do something separately to protect the credibility of the investigation, which meant both the FBI and the Justice Department.
I mean, Than, just reconcile. When was that, by the way? What was the date? That was after he was fired. Okay, so before he's fired, I waited until after Hillary Clinton was interviewed. And then after he was fired, it was all about the tarmac meeting. That was the conclusive reason why he took the action he did. But that was, again, a meeting that occurred, 7 days before Hillary Clinton was interviewed, Than? So, I mean, this guy, that's what we've said. And now the Senate Judiciary Committee has uncovered. Than, tell people about what Chairman Grassley, that they've uncovered. We're not just saying that it looks like. I mean, they have the documentation that Jim Comey was drafting this declination, as we call it, not to prosecute Hillary Clinton or anyone else associated with her. Because of the server, which had classified info on it, he was drafting that 3 months before anybody was interviewed. So well before the tarmac meeting, long before he said he made the press conference, he was already drafting this.
Well, Jordan, first of all, if his goal was to protect the reputation of the Department of Justice and the FBI, I would say he failed miserably. In fact, he undermined it to an extent we've never seen before. But yeah, look, I'm holding that documentation in my hands. It's a letter from the Senate Judiciary Committee to the director of the FBI, referencing some transcripts that they got from the FBI special counsel. The FBI special counsel, Jordan, interviewed two of James Comey's staff. So this is not hearsay. This is his direct staff, including his chief of staff, Jim Rubicki. And they both testified the exact same thing, that sometime in late spring, either late April or early May, that he had begun drafting the declination letter declining to prosecute or take forward a case against Hillary Clinton. They both said very similar things. And again, we've been over this, but this is before 16 interviews, witnesses were interviewed, plus the target of the investigation, Hillary Clinton. So look, if he comes forward and now says again, like he said to Congress, he did not make the decision until after interviewing Hillary Clinton, it will be in direct contradiction to what his chief of staff and a second primary staffers of his have testified. Jordan, they can't all be telling the truth, and it's not just one person's word against another. It's two of his primary top staffers against his.
We come back, folks. We're going to be taking your phone calls. But that is so when your top staffers, this is why I think Comey is sweating, as Stan pointed out, is that he had his top two staffers testify. They're not going to jail for Jim Comey. I mean, you know, a lot of these people in Washington, they're not willing to go to jail for their fired boss, a former boss who is no longer in the position of power and is in a tough spot. So they're not going to lie and put their own careers in jeopardy, potentially, you know, life in jeopardy. This is they could end up behind bars. So they tell the truth. And none of them have said, by the way, oh, and he was also preparing grand jury indictments in case the decision was made to criminally prosecute Hillary Clinton and her colleagues. No one said that. No testimony about that. We'll talk about it when we come back.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation: the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in the centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Let me, as we come back from the break, remind people that there's been a terror attack today in a major international city in London. Another train attack there. At least one IED has gone off. They are concerned because they've closed a lot of the train system in this one area of London, that there may be other explosive devices. But there was an IED in a train. 22 people have been hospitalized, injured. That no one has been, thankfully, has lost their life at this point. But we've heard of injuries as severe as being burned from head to toe. So we have to remember that in these types of terror attacks, though, there may not be death and that kind of carnage from all of these attacks, because they don't always go off the way the terrorists would hope, which is a good thing ultimately, that the people suffer major injuries, life-changing, life-altering injuries to their bodies, to their psyches. And so, though it doesn't get the same kind of attention, there's a manhunt underway in London right now. There's a concern that there are more explosive devices as well, potentially in trains like this. Again, it was a pretty crude device, what appeared to be a very crude device. But I don't want to ignore it on our show. If we had more information, I'd spend more time on it. That's about all the information there is right now. The president has spoken out about it very directly. He actually said that the travel ban into the United States should be far larger, tougher, and more specific, but stupidly, that would not be politically correct. Now, I think after the Supreme Court hears the case in October, they've sided with the president every time, he could probably expand that as much as he'd like, and be as direct and specific as he would like. But unfortunately, he's had to wait on courts to have to make that call. Doing so now would be certainly subject to more legal battles. It would ultimately be at the same time the court hears the case in October. So I think that, listen, what we want the court, this is on the travel ban issue and involves both immigration and refugees from all countries, immigration from six right now, is that if the Supreme Court says this is okay, they're not going to say it's okay because of these six countries or refugees. They're going to say the president has this power to act if they determine that these countries are a concern in the future as well, which means the president will be able to do without fear of having to just spend, you know, months in court. There could always be lawsuits filed, but when you have a Supreme Court precedent, it's a lot easier to fight back. And usually they get dismissed, even by the most liberal judges, that they'll be able to fight back in court and do so successfully. Harry Hutchinson is joining us now. And Harry, I want to bring it back to Jim Comey. I'm going to start with a phone call. Because we ask people, you know, do you believe Jim Comey should be brought to justice? Should he face the prosecution. Michael in New York's calling on line six. Michael, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air. Hey, Michael, you there?
Hello?
Yep, you're on the air, Michael.
Hello? Yeah, I'm from Nevada, but just wanted to just say that there was there's two different standards here, and you guys have laid it out beautifully, why he should be in jail. I agree 100% that he should be in jail, but here's the problem. Problem is that there's two different standards. One is that if you're a regular person, you would have already been put in jail, have to post bail, and whether the judge says yes or no, you would have either been out or have to stay in jail. But because it's a politician or because it's Jim Comey or because, you know, somebody higher up, they don't put these people in jail, and that's wrong.
Yeah,
they should do it either one way or the other.
Well, Michael, I agree with you 100%. There's a swamp double standard. If you're part of the swamp, you don't get treated the same way. It's why people like Hillary Clinton get to write books instead of face prosecution. It's why people like Jim Comey right now are writing books instead of facing prosecution. You know, there's a famous quote by Ronald Reagan. It's not supposed to say, by the way, but it says if you disgrace yourself in politics, you can always write a book. You know, the idea is, though, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't face any kind of prosecution. These people were not pardoned. They didn't receive any kind of special pardon. That's one thing. But they didn't receive that. These are people who, so far, the system has been too afraid of touching. That's what makes me nervous. Let me go to Harry Hutchison about that. Because, Harry, that's why I think upsets people. I mean, the exact same comment came in from Rick on Facebook. He said, it seems like there are two different sides of law for this country, one for Washington and one for the American people.
I think the callers are absolutely correct. In essence, Jordan, there is an unwillingness, it seems to me, to prosecute and to go after these government officials aggressively. There is, to some extent, an old boy network in Washington. If you think about it, Comey leaked a memo, which was government property, in order to do what? To trigger the appointment of a special prosecutor. It so happens that Bob Mueller is a friend of Jim Comey. So, Jordan, I think there are three questions related to James Comey's misbehavior. First, did he violate the law? Second, did he violate FBI departmental rules, which bar the unauthorized release of information? And third, did he perjure himself before the United States Congress? Clearly, you can argue he violated the law with respect to leaking a government document. There's clear statutory authority. We've laid it out in memos and on our website with respect to that particular violation. Yeah. Secondarily, he exonerated Hillary Clinton before he completed his investigation, and yet he claimed that he didn't reach his conclusion until he investigated her. Yep. And thirdly, as Jonathan Turley, a law professor at George Washington University, points out, he violated FBI rules.
Yep.
So clearly we have a problem here. And I'm also disturbed because the DOJ and the FBI, at least to this point, they have stonewalled Congress with respect to the release of unredacted transcripts, including a transcript from Comey's chief of staff. So there are problems.
And the only way I'd say that would be okay is if it's because they're prosecuting him, if they're putting together a prosecution. They don't tell us that. They're not supposed to. Now, Jim Comey loved going out there and opening and closing cases in the public eye. And as Harry pointed out, they violated the policies and procedures of the FBI. Now, I love how the media says, oh, and yes, Harry, you know, he might have done that, but he got fired, so yeah, so what? I mean, he violated, you know, he may have leaked info, and yeah, if he was still FBI director, you could have fired him then for leaking it, but he can do whatever he wants with the information after. That is the double standard people are talking about as well. If the information was illegal to leak as FBI director because of what's the information curtails, where it was made, when it was made, who made it at the time, then leaking it a week later just because a person who may have made it is no longer in the official position, well, that doesn't change the document itself.
Absolutely not. It was still government property when he leaked the document. And with respect to the whole double standard issue, it's also important to note that there's a double standard out there with respect to media scrutiny.
Yeah.
The media is all over the so-called Russia collusion story.
Yeah.
But what about the James Comey collusion story, his interference in the 2016 election?
Yeah.
We have clear, unmistakable evidence of his interference. Even Hillary Clinton is willing to admit it, although she's not necessarily willing to admit that she would fire him.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say it's like this. For all of us on both sides of the aisle, if we're all being fair, this guy probably did interfere in the election. May have had an impact. How great of an impact that is, you will never truly know. It's hard to measure that. But certainly this was kind of the worst of the FBI. It's what the movies used to be made about, you know, those like Hoover type FBI agents who could really were the ones running the U.S. government and could threaten duly elected presidents of the United States, our constitutional officers, to act or not act in a certain way because of what they would basically blackmail them with. And this is what he was trying to bring that back. And no surprise, he pulled a lot of this in the Bush administration, too. He loved threatening a resignation. He just finally got called out on it by a President Trump who said, I am sick of this guy. This is no good for the American people. It may hurt me politically, but I got to get rid of him as the FBI director.
I think
I don't see any protests, by the way, at the FBI. Did you see anybody resign?
No.
Did you see his good deputy buddy say, no, I'm not going to become acting FBI director until President Trump appoints Chris Wray. I'm leaving because – no, he didn't.
Right.
He took the position. So there wasn't a lot of – there may have been some off-the-record love for Jim Comey at the FBI. Don't see a lot of on-the-record love except for his actual friends.
I think Comey's guiding principle has been all along his arrogance.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this is, again, Than, that is something I've seen that has changed is that you don't see the politicians on left or right in Washington. They don't defend this guy anymore.
I think their biggest concern about the last election cycle now reflects on its own government, Jordan. I think they're more concerned about where the FBI was doing. And let me just say this, too. The one thing I would add to the comments that Harry just made, I do think there are still people at the FBI that were involved in this. Because remember, the very same testimony that I've been reading from says that there were a group of people on that email. Jordan, who else was on that email? We need to know who was on that email and who cooperated with it.
Yeah, yes, we absolutely do, because these are the people that could continue to undermine the functioning of our government. Remember, we have another segment coming up. Last segment of the week. Let's take all your phone calls, folks. We got two lines open. 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on the air. That's what we do in the final segment. We take your calls. We take your comments. 1-800-684-3110. Let's all remember those who have been affected by the hurricanes in our prayers, those who were affected in this terror attack in London this morning in our prayers as well. And for the people who are dealing with this threat from North Korea, you know, whether it's our territories like in Guam, in Japan, in South Korea, our allies. And again, I think there's a lot going on in the world. We'll take your calls in our final segment when we come back.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation. The rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online aclj.org.
And welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. In the final segment of the broadcast, so you know what we've been talking about today. Comey, North Korea, of course, the terror attack in London. Our hearts and prayers for those injured. Thankfully, no one killed. But I always want to underscore in these terror attacks, I think it's very unfair to say, well, no one got killed, so we don't give it any attention. That should never be the case, why I've talked about in every segment of the broadcast today. Because 22 people have been very injured. Some who are burned from head to toe. They're suffering. They will be suffering for the rest of their life, whether it's physically, psychologically, or both. That's the point of terrorism, is to make people afraid to get on the trains, to inflict that kind of pain on individuals who actually suffer from the terrorist attack. And this person who did this is still on the run. They were not a suicide attacker, so they are still posing a threat to the people of London. So continue to have them in your prayers, thoughts, and prayers as well. And a reminder about why we cannot let up on the terrorist threat, and specifically Islamic terrorism. Back to the phones we go. We take them in order in this segment by who's been holding on the longest, and we're going to take all of them. Let's go to, is it Jan in California, in Santa Barbara, on line four. Jan, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hello. I'm honored and privileged to be able to speak. I never thought I could get on.
Thanks for joining us. Anyway, you're in a beautiful city in Santa Barbara.
Oh, yes. And, you know, first of all, I voted for Trump, and I think they need to let him do his business and stop complaining if he coughs.
Yeah.
And I just want everyone to hear that.
I hear you.
All the people that voted for Trump, we need to get in there and stand, because he came in with intentions of changing, like Jim Comey.
Right.
And first of all, I'd like to say, he should go to prison and for a long time.
Yeah. You're talking about Jim Comey in that case. Jan, let me say thank you for holding on. Let's send Jan a book. First time caller. Didn't expect to get on. So, Jan, don't hang up. We're going to get you a book as well. We appreciate your comments. Here's what I think, Than and Harry. I'll go to both of you, and then we're going to get to more calls. But very quickly, Donald Trump did what most D.C. politicians wouldn't do. He got rid of this FBI director who no one liked, but no one would have taken any action against, because they would be afraid of what would come, like these special counsels. And everybody would use this as an uproar. But you can't treat Donald Trump this way. He's not gonna govern as usual. He's displayed that this week.
Yeah, I agree, Jordan. And look, I know a lot of people are clamoring for prosecutions. I've said this many times, but I would say the fact that Lois Lerner is no longer at the IRS and the fact that James Comey is no longer at the FBI are the two most significant wins against the bureaucracy that could possibly be achieved. And the Trump administration has done that in short order.
Yeah, and let me tell you something, folks. Whether or not they go to jail or have to pay fines, getting them out of government is huge. I mean, Harry, that is true. It is getting them out of the policymaking and the decision-making process and setting the tone of you will lose your job. You'll have to try to go write a book because that's all you'll be employable for. We're going to hit your credibility. We're going to interview and put under oath all of your staff. You become toxic, if you will, and you should be toxic. These are the kind of people who Washington should reject.
Absolutely. So, Jordan, I think you're absolutely correct. But in addition, we want to see a change in policy.
Yeah.
And at the ACLJ, we have filed FOIA requests against the DOJ, the FBI, and the OSC with respect to Comey's sham investigation. He exonerated first, and then he interviewed second. We need to find out who was involved, and those additional individuals who were involved in the sham investigation, they need to be removed expeditiously as well.
Bryce is calling in from Texas, online too. Bryce, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hello, thank you.
Thanks, Bryce.
I have a question regarding the possibility that Congress might issue a subpoena calling on James Comey to testify under oath before Congress. Does Comey have the option to just ignore the subpoena, say, no, I don't want to testify?
There's an enforcement problem with Congress, certainly. I mean, Harry and Than both know this. So just very quickly, I think I can answer this one. Is it Congress, unless you like arrest someone while they're on the property of the Capitol, they have to rely then on the DOJ to enforce a subpoena. And so under the Obama administration, a lot of these subpoenas would go out and they would not be enforced. Under the Trump administration, I think if you're Jim Comey, you got to be concerned that the Department of Justice may enforce their subpoena. So it may not be as easy just to completely ignore it. But I'll leave. We don't know. We haven't gotten to that point yet. So, again, yes, in the past, you could sometimes do that. Not always. And the Department of Justice could ultimately enforce that subpoena and have you arrested if you won't comply and bring you to Congress to testify. Back to the phones we go. And by the way, you can always take the Fifth. That'll do good for his credibility. That'll be great for his book on leadership. Don't talk to Congress when you're under oath if you've already testified before. Let's go to Cindy in New York on line one. Cindy, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Jordan and Logan.
Hey, Cindy.
So I want to stick on the Comey conversation. So say we all get our wish and Comey is prosecuted and he is found guilty by the court for his violations, mishandlings, and all the points you've been making. What happens to the people associated with all of that, that he has granted immunities, and do those immunities stand?
Harry, I think that those were granted by the FBI, right?
Well, they were probably granted by the DOJ. And if so, those immunities would stand because the DOJ has elicited testimony which might otherwise incriminate these individuals. And so under the U.S. Constitution, we have the right not to testify against ourselves, so those immunity agreements would stand.
Yeah, I know what you're getting at there, is that if he was doing this whole phony prosecution, can you then go after other individuals from like the Clinton team as well? I think it's more not about the losing political candidates, but it's about the government officials who are empowered by the bureaucracy and getting rid of those bad actors. They're much worse because politicians come and go. It's the bureaucrats who stay much longer. Back to the phones we go. Let's try to take these last two calls. Melanie in Alabama on line three. Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi. With what he did, could he not be investigated for obstruction of justice? I mean, he literally came to a conclusion before key witnesses were even interviewed.
Obstruction of justice. I mean, I don't, Harry, on that one, it's not one we've seen discussed as much. What do you think?
Well, I think that's a possibility.
We'd have to have
certainly a theoretical possibility that he did obstruct justice in the sense that he engaged in a sham claim. However, you would then have to now investigate Hillary Clinton and find that there was sufficient evidence of culpability and then charge him. So I think it would be a very difficult
and
convoluted process.
Yeah. There's already enough violations there. I don't think you have to jump to that one for Comey himself. Last call. We got a minute and 15. We got him in. Eric in California on line five. Eric, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Jordan. I'm actually a first-time caller. I'm actually a college student. My
Great.
Comment is that I not only think that Comey should be in jail, but anyone else from the FBI who assisted him should be held liable as well.
Yeah, I
mean, how can the American people?
Go ahead. Go ahead, Eric.
How can the American people trust the FBI to uphold justice?
Well, I think that this is the bigger problem. This is why we get fired up about this. It's not because we have some animus towards Jim Comey only or his chief of staff. You know, I think the only reason his chief of staff and others should not be also prosecuted, as you said, Eric, the same way Jim Comey, is if they've cut deals where they're talking and giving information so that you can get the big fish. Because a lot of times, Harry, that's what you need. You need a lot of people around that will turn on the big fish to really bring to reel in the big fish.
Absolutely. So I think the caller raises a very good point. Most FBI agents, at least in my opinion, are indeed trustworthy.
Yeah.
But this is the problem with James Comey. He has brought discredit on the entire organization. And so it's important for him to be prosecuted, in my opinion.
All right, folks, we talked about a lot. We'll talk to you more on Monday.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, ACLJ.